You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the fifth episode of season eight. Prochnost, I think is how it was pronounced in this episode. Directed by Laura Belzy and written by, I always have to click in for this and scroll to the bottom, Derek A. Hughes, Benjamin Robb, and Rebecca Bellotto. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your extra special host for this extra special guest appearance episode, Curtis Findlay.
It's fitting because in this episode we get Anatoly comes back, who is Oliver's sometimes ally.
Yep.
And so you're here for the Russia episode.
Your sometimes ally.
Yeah, my sometimes ally. To be honest, out of everybody on Thunderquack, and not to throw stones at anybody else, but out of anybody else on the Thunderquack Podcast Network, you are the one who does the most work after me. So,
okay,
and it shows because we have the highest rated shows on the network, right?
Yeah, but, that's right.
Yeah, so you are more than my sometimes ally, Curtis.
Okay, good.
That's what I mean by that. Curtis, you have not been watching Arrow. Yeah,
you know, so the deal is, it's not by choice.
Sure.
We canceled our cable probably within the first couple of seasons of Arrow, and then I went to just streaming it off of our local, it was CTV, I think, that airs the show, right? It was the CTV app. They would always have it the next day. They'd have the episode up, and so I just watched it on my iPad. And then, I don't know, a season and a half ago, or maybe it's even two seasons. I don't even remember.
Two seasons ago.
They changed the way that their app works, and I couldn't watch the show anymore. I had to actually have a cable account in order to stream the shows, and since I didn't have cable, I can't stream anything.
It wouldn't matter because CTV stopped showing Arrow two seasons ago.
Oh, maybe that's what it is then. Maybe they I just couldn't watch it anymore. So, I'm up to date on Flash because Flash airs weekly on Netflix.
Yep. So Flash airs on Tuesdays before Arrow, and then it's up on Netflix on Thursday. So
it's so weird how they do that. So Arrow, Legends, those are not on Netflix.
Arrow and Legends are both on Crave.
Yep.
Flash and Black Lightning are on Netflix. Weekly
episodes. Yeah. And then
Supergirl is a season behind.
Yeah, it's like, come on, guys.
And you get the whole season.
So it's frustrating for me because I'm up to date on Flash, and I could watch only one part of the multi-part crossover.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch any more of it. Yeah. And it's going to be the same this season as well. I can only watch the one thing. So I'm here today. Mike, you asked me if I could fill in for Amanda. Yeah. And I said, okay, but I haven't watched Arrow for like two seasons, and I have no idea what's going on.
It was a choice of multiple people who no longer watch the show.
Yeah.
And when I say choice, I mean like I didn't really dig into it. I didn't really ask anybody else. I asked you first, and you said yes.
Yeah.
And I asked you first because, honestly, it's convenience. You're
I moved 9 minutes away from you now, so yeah, it's easy for me to get over here.
Yeah. So so that was the easiest thing to do. So we're gonna go through this. Curtis hasn't even watched this episode yet, so it's all gonna be news to him. But that's okay, because It's Arrow. I did catch him up on what's happened in the last season and a bit. So he does have the important information.
But I will be watching the subtitles. I'll be reading along with this episode, not hearing it, just reading it while trying to talk to you. But really, I'm just here so you have someone to talk to, basically, right?
Yes.
So, I'll ask the questions and get your opinions on things, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's start with an email. We've got an email from Sarah Beth, and she writes, subject line, Anatoly, with 3 exclamation marks. This was great. Anatoly and Roy both return. I'm here for it. Also, fun to see the father-daughter team-up fight scene with the Bratva. It was amazing. The beginning of the season was slow, but I'm happy with where they're taking it. I'm also glad Lila is finally outed. It was driving me crazy. I'm excited to see what plays out, while also having Laurel stay good instead of turning evil. Lila as Harbinger was trying to get Laurel to actually. I guess it wasn't even Lila in the beginning. It was last week. The Monitor came to her and said, "I need your help. I need you to betray Oliver Queen." And that's where we were left last week, and then this week she's kind of wrestling with it, and ultimately she decides not to betray them because she's done all this work to become a hero, and she doesn't want to turn her back on that.
Okay.
And the leverage that he's using is that Earth 2 was destroyed by the Anti-Monitor already, because Oliver was there and he messed some stuff up, so the Anti-Monitor basically came and destroyed it.
Okay.
So he's like, "Oh, I'll put Earth 2 back for you if you betray Oliver Queen." And she, in this episode, she's basically like, "I don't care what your I don't know, like what you offer me. I'm not gonna turn my back on my friends."
Nice.
And next week we have Lance back, Detective Lance. This season is making me happy.
So
thanks, y'all, Sarah Beth. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Sarah.
No, go ahead.
So is this season basically let's throw in all the cameos from all the people.
It is 100% a revolving door of guest stars.
Oh, man.
So the first episode was a triple threat. We got Moira Queen. We got
Moira.
Yeah. We got,
in a flashback.
Nope.
Like
on
actual,
a different Earth.
Of course. Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. Because he's jumping around.
We got,
that's convenient.
Malcolm Merlyn.
Yeah.
And we got Tommy Merlyn.
Oh, okay.
All in an episode. That was the Earth 2
happy
episode,
where everyone's alive.
Yeah, that was the Earth 2 one. And then we got...
And then he gets that whole Earth destroyed?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
kind of... I mean, it's... As is with a lot of Arrow storytelling, it's very unclear whether or not it is actually his fault or whether or not the Monitor is trying to use that to manipulate him and be like, "See what happened? I told you if you didn't do what I said that there would be consequences." And it's like, yeah, this might just be convenient. The second episode, we saw China White return as a bad guy along with Katana. Hong Kong. And then in the third episode, it was Thea. Was that third or fourth? That was the third episode. It was Thea and then Talia al Ghul.
It's Oliver getting to say goodbye to everybody one last time.
Yeah. Nyssa was not in that episode because the actress is, she films Hawaii Five-0 in Hawaii. And then what was it last week? Last week was, when we were doing our recap earlier, I didn't get to the point, to the most important part, which is that we think the monitor used his magical powers that are unclear, and brought the future Team Arrow of Mia, Connor and William to the present day.
Okay.
So last week's episode was all dealing with that, and Curtis, Mr. Terrific, came in and helped.
So he's not a regular in the show this season?
No, so that was a guest spot for
him. He's my favorite. I like him.
Having him back last week was really nice.
Yeah.
I think that's all of the guests.
And Felicity came back for one episode?
No, she hasn't come back yet.
Oh, okay.
I believe she'll be in the final episode.
That would make sense.
And my guess is that she will be in one scene of the final episode, and that's
Really?
When we see what happened when she went through that portal on the other side, okay. When the two of them are reunited. I'm wondering, Purgatory Oliver's mission takes him to Lian Yu, where he tries to ignore the repercussions of the looming crisis until he receives help from an old friend.
Deathstroke.
On Lian Yu, I'm guessing that's going to be Slade.
Yeah.
I bet that's... Meanwhile, a united Team Arrow faces a recognizable villain. We might see two Deathstrokes in that episode. We don't have any other guest stars on that episode. That's not the next episode. That's the one after.
Okay.
Because next week we know is Detective Lance.
And in this episode, it's Roy. You said right.
It's Roy and Anatoly.
And Anatoly. Okay.
But Roy, like by the end of the episode, Diggle has convinced Roy to come back to the team because Roy left. Colton Haynes left a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
And was basically like, I just don't like it. He just wasn't down for the, like the stunts and the having to stay in shape, like in that peak physical condition sort of thing.
I want to be fat and lazy, guys.
So he stopped, he left the show, but he left in a way that obviously he can come back.
He left with Thea, right? Didn't he?
Yeah. Last season he came back for a stint. He was in a lot of the future stuff. He was in most of the season, but mostly in the future stuff. And then he came back in the present day, but we found out that at some point he died and they used a Lazarus pit to bring him back, which in this world makes you crazy. It gives you that bloodlust.
That's right.
So he's been dealing with the bloodlust and he doesn't know how to control it. So he's in hiding right now.
Okay.
Because if he's in fights, then it comes out. Otherwise, he can control it. So,
well, you know, I think your listeners probably don't need to know all of this. This is for my sake.
Some of them might actually be like confused about some of these elements.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the show can be confusing. yeah. A lot of the time, we get emails because we get a lot more emails than what we read on the podcast, and I tend to read emails. We get a lot. I read a lot of those same ones from the same people because they're not asking questions. They're sort of like talking about the things that they liked in the episode.
Yeah.
But we do actually get a lot of feedback of people just like literally asking for clarification on what's happening on the show.
Oh man.
And I think it's because the show can often be a little bit confusing and vague, like it is with the Earth 2 thing. Like I said, like did Oliver destroy Earth 2 with his actions, or is the Monitor just being a jerk?
Right.
Right. It's very unclear which of those is the case. But
okay.
Yeah. Cool. Let's jump into the actual episode. This is the previously on. So this is them. They came back from the future and Oliver is like, huh, what? Because he's met Mia, but the last time he saw Mia, she was basically less than a year old. She was like a few months old when he left on this mission. So seeing her as an adult is very confusing and touching and moving for him, but also difficult because he really doesn't know how to be a dad because he didn't get much of an opportunity with William because William was already in that tween stage and then left and he didn't grow up with Mia, and Mia's a little worse for wear having not grown up with her father and with a very paranoid mother. That was Felicity's story last season, kind of drove her to this like kind of extreme paranoia that once she became pregnant, it was like everything was about just protecting the baby.
Right.
And to the point where she almost turned into a supervillain, and then they shied away from it for like the third time on the series when like that's what we wanted. It's like, make her a bad guy. That would be interesting. But
that would be. So this is Mia here.
Yeah. So we're opening up with them doing a father-daughter training session, and this is like, she's pretty good with a bow and arrow already. Nissa Al Ghul trained her.
Of course she did.
Yeah, so she's pretty good because Talia is the one who trained Oliver, right? I mean, like Oliver was trained by like 10 people.
Yeah.
But Talia was one of the people who trained her. So they kind of have a similar lineage there in their training. like I said, the show is kind of weirdly vague sometimes. She's learning about all of the different gadget arrows, and we see these shots of her using them. But we have no idea, like, is she actually out there capturing bad guys? Or are these just examples to show us? Because that's not part of any storyline. Those guys are
Oliver theoretically hires them muggers. To practice.
So then the big thing here is that, as he explains to her, like, the tennis balls are an important learning tool because you have to hit them dead on. If you are off by even a millimeter, they'll deflect.
Right. Yeah, that's right? Kind of cool.
So that's showing her progress and that he has some stuff to teach her.
So she's from the future, but in present day, currently here, right?
Yeah.
So she goes by the name Green Arrow in the future?
No.
Not yet.
No, not yet. But there, she's at the point right now where Oliver was in season one.
Oh, okay.
So she's not murdery like he was, because he was just killing people left and right. But she is definitely rough around the edges and overconfident.
Yeah.
And it took Diggle to kind of break Oliver out of that and teach him that he had a lot to learn.
Okay.
And obviously he improved from there.
And this is William here?
This is William, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't look anything like what he looked like as a kid.
Yeah. It's, you know.
They didn't even try.
Vaguely. I mean, like, he's another white guy with brown hair.
Oh, yeah. They all look the same.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't understand why they need this pulse wave generator. It's so unclear. It's just a MacGuffin. None of it matters because Crisis is happening whether they stop it or not. Like there, all of this stuff is like, oh, we got to stop the monitor. We gotta have something to fight them with. And
I thought it was, I've only been just reading this just now, but isn't it to stop the wave that will destroy planets?
Yeah, but they think that's the monitor. Because Oliver a couple weeks ago found a book in Nanda Parbat that explained a little bit of information about the monitor.
Yeah.
But it's actually not the monitor that's about. That's about the anti-monitor.
Right.
But they don't know that the anti-monitor exists. So they think when they open that up and they see this picture that it is the monitor that's the threat. Hmm. So they're preparing to stop him.
Okay.
Because Oliver doesn't trust him and obviously doesn't want to die. Especially now that he's getting to know his kids as adults, he's like, oh, I need to be around. So they're trying to figure out a way to stop the inevitable because of this deal that he made with the monitor. So, but honestly, like, this is all just busy work because, like, Crisis, like, we know that the crossover is happening.
Yep.
So it's almost pointless storytelling. There's no stakes. It's like, I just saw Terminator, Amanda and I saw Terminator Dark Fate. We talked about it on the last Thunderquack podcast. Right. It's like halfway through that movie.
You know the future.
Well, no, not even that. Halfway through the movie, there's a scene where they're on a cargo plane, and the cargo plane's flying all over the place and flipping around, and everybody's in mortal danger. And it's like, this is clearly not the climax of the movie. Like, this is not the final battle.
Yeah.
So at least four out of these four characters are going to be fine.
Right.
As well as the bad guy. Like,
that's kind of like you can say that about any show, though. This show's called Arrow. So Oliver Queen's never actually going to die.
For the one time they killed him and then brought him back.
But then, even then, it's like he dies. But you know he's going to come back because the show is named after him. It's like I've been reading the Tomb of Dracula, the old Marvel series from the 70s. Mm-hmm. And in it, these guys, this team of people are hunting Dracula. They're never going to catch Dracula because the book is called The Tomb of Dracula. And if they want the book to keep on going, Dracula's got to be there.
Yeah. We talked over Lila giving Laurel her instructions.
I like and Laurel's revealing new hair.
That she's, yeah. But Katie Cassidy, we talk about this. Amanda and I talk about this all the time. Katie Cassidy is so much better. She's playing the same person,
yeah,
but a different version of that person. And this this version suits her as an actor so much better.
Nice.
And she's great. Her performance is awesome.
Well, that's good.
As this version of Laurel Lance. And more nuanced. There's more for her to do. And she kind of gets to own her sexiness a little bit more, because Black Siren, as opposed to Black Canary, is a little bit, she's more of a femme fatale than just a superhero.
So she goes by Black Siren.
She goes by Black Canary now, but she started as Black Siren because she was the Laurel from Earth 2.
And there's another Black Canary. There's actually two characters that are actually called Black Canary.
Yes.
Man, why did they do that?
They originally had killed off Laurel.
Yeah.
And then
brought in the other Black Canary.
And that was fine.
I was fine with that.
People liked that character, so she became a regular on the series again. So it's at the end of the day, it's actually great because the spinoff that they're working on is Green Arrow and the Canaries.
Yeah.
Which is Mia and the two Black Canaries.
Oh, okay, really? Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so behind on all the news.
Clearly.
Yes.
And then we just again talked over
Roy's scene.
Roy's scene. So
nice
Diggle,
to see him again.
Diggle needs a partner on his plutonium mission. He's got to go get the plutonium to power the pulse wave generator thing. And he can't take Connor for some reason.
Yeah.
We don't really like, there's not, they don't give a good explanation. They just say that he's going to check up on his mom.
Yeah.
But it's the past and his mom is fine.
He just misses his mom.
It doesn't, I think that's all it is.
And then Anatoly and Oliver's relationship remind me of Jake Peralta and Doug Judy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
100%. 100%. Yeah, that's exactly, like, that is exactly right.
Yeah.
We're back from commercials now. One is a good guy and one is a bad guy. But they're
best friends.
Except that in this instance, it's like with Jake and Judy, they're neither one of them is like really that extreme. In this show, they are both extreme. So Oliver is an extremely good guy.
Yeah.
He's got his codes and all that. And then Anatoly is like, I'll just murder people if I have to. Anatoly is always fun. He is one of the highlights of this series. So I'm really glad that we got to see him one more time.
I like how they've changed him to be a little bit more, just more funny, I guess, in a sense. It's like he doesn't take himself as seriously as he did when he first appeared in the show.
Yeah, there was always like a little bit of that dark humor thing, like kind of that he had that element that Liam Neeson's Ra's al Ghul had when, you remember, like when he first sees Bruce in the Batman costume and he's like, you took the thing about theatrics a bit literally. He's kind of got that same attitude with Oliver, where he's like, couldn't you do this without the costume? He's just always fun to have around, and he has definitely become more of a comic relief character over the years. But I think that's the actor. I think that's a testament to the actor and his performance. Is that he's got great comedic timing, and they play off each other so well. We're talking about the mission, but Roy is kind of understanding, like he's starting to figure out, like, this isn't really about the mission, this is about him. Basically John wants to bring him back into the team, and Roy thinks that because he's because of his bloodlust, he's a danger to everybody else, so he's trying to stay out of the whole superhero thing. But Diggle's basically trying to say, like, oh, I've everything in the future is all messed up, but you helped the team, and therefore, like, you're not beyond hope, because in the future you managed to fight the bloodlust and come back from it and be part of the team and help them. Yeah, I like this. He's like, you said you wanted to atone. You can't do that by fixing cars.
Diggle's got a much better helmet these days than he did when I was watching the show.
I guess it's been a minute. So it's funny because what happened that with that is that somebody else designed the initial helmet and everybody hated it, his Magneto helmet.
Yeah, right? It was dumb.
Everybody hated that thing because it was just awful. So our friend of the show and our friend, Andy Poon, was tasked with redesigning the helmet and did this version of it, which is much better.
Yeah, Andy Poon said on Facebook today that he gets to design the suit that Kevin Conroy is wearing, the exoskeleton for Batman.
The Kingdom so Come cool. Batman. Yeah. Actually, I've been talking to him the last day or so. The hope is that we're actually going to get him on for the crossover episode.
That'd be awesome.
In January.
Totally.
So we'll have him in here guesting on that episode to talk about. To talk about that element of it, and all of the stuff that he's designed over the years. Because I mean, Andy has worked on tons of stuff, including Smallville. But I came to know him through Arrow through this. And actually, I think through you, right?
Like, yeah,
I think
he made he that worked, connection. He worked with my wife at an animation studio. They worked together. Yeah. And I can't remember if you were looking for an interview or a guest host. And
I think it was
him.
Like in season two, and you were just like, hey, I know a guy who works on Arrow.
That's right. Yep.
Do you want to talk to him? And you connected us. So
he's a great guy.
Yeah. Andy's awesome. He's always been a really great friend of the show. And it's always kind of like something will get hinted at, like in the past when they've done like brief reveals of like, oh, so-and-so is going to get a new costume. And then I would go to Andy and be like, so somebody get a new costume. And we were like, wink, wink.
Yep.
It's been fun. And he's still working on Batwoman now. So he's still doing stuff.
Oh yeah. He still is. He'll be employed forever. He's super good.
Yeah.
And there'll always be superhero shows now, so and he loves it. The best part about him is that he is a fanboy at the same time as a professional. So he's so invested in it.
I think that's it's like with the Sonic redesign, right?
Yeah.
So with the Sonic redesign initially, I don't know who designed that Sonic originally, but it was not in keeping with the true spirit of Sonic the Hedgehog. I should know because like Curtis is currently sitting next to a 3 foot tall stuffed Sonic.
It's bigger than your children.
Who is sitting underneath a painting of Sonic from 2010 that is underneath an illustration of Sonic from last year that I did. So
there you go.
Yeah. I'm a little bit of a Sonic the Hedgehog fan.
The new version looks much better.
Yeah, and the new version looks much better because it's Tyson Hess. I know his name's Tyson. I think it's Tyson Hess. Who did the animated openings for Sonic Mania from last year. And he is, he's a fan of Sonic who now works on Sonic stuff. And they brought him in to basically head up the redesign on Sonic. Actually, speaking of Sonic the Hedgehog and Andy Poon, Andy worked on Sonic the Hedgehog as well.
Oh, did he?
He didn't work on Sonic. He worked on Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah, that makes sense. Totally.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I remember when the first trailer came out, I was like, you didn't work on that part, right? And he was like, no, I was nowhere near Sonic, just Robotnik.
I like Andy's designs because they are faithful to the original source material. He's very good at that.
He is a big fan of all of the stuff that he works on. And it shows because he adds in these elements, these pieces of flavor that I don't think that other costume illustrators, like concept illustrators, would necessarily do if they didn't have the connection to the characters.
Yeah.
And a really great example of that coming through and becoming actually part of the iconography of the character of Green Arrow is that he designed the Arrow G logo for Green Arrow on Smallville that is now the logo for the Green Arrow in the DC Comics.
Oh, so wow.
Like most incarnations now have that G somewhere on the costume, and it's in the logo on the title of the comic.
Wow.
And he's responsible for creating that That's iconography. Yeah. So it's not always exactly the same as he did it, but he started that trend of the G-shaped arrow, or the arrow-shaped G.
That's amazing. That's so great.
Yeah. So I think he's been hugely influential in the success of the larger Arrowverse, because he's also done the Flash costume. He did the Atom costume. He did all of the versions of White Canary. Like, he's done so many of these costumes that really any of the ones that you look at and you go, that one's great, he had something to do with.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, we've been talking over a really boring fight.
It's a fight ring, and Oliver had to like infiltrate this place in order to get these plans for this thing that's part of the pulse generator thing. But now this other guy is gonna betray somebody, and I don't know, man. Even when I was watching this last night, it was hard to follow. That guy just got murdered, and she just got knocked out,
and he's getting knocked out.
But he has to get knocked out really slow so that he can see his daughter and be like, "Oh no, what have I done?"
He can take a beating in the ring, but some two-bit thug can just clock him in the back of the neck, and he's gone.
Fast forwarding through commercials, by the way. Nope, that's a preview. That's the show. Hold up. I've almost got it. We're almost there. Oh, I went way too far.
So do you like Mia? Is she a good character?
Yeah, we're back in now. Mia, William, and Connor are actually all great.
Oh, good.
They're all fantastic. And I'm really excited if Green Arrow and the Canaries gets picked up. I'm really excited to just watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just watch it when I feel like it. And if it's good, I'll watch it right away. If it's bad, I'll wait and I'll watch the whole season all at once.
So you're not going to podcast that one?
I won't be, no. But Amanda more than likely will be. So Quiver, if Green Arrow and the Canaries gets picked up to series, I Quiver will continue. I'm too busy now with all the Disney Plus stuff.
There's so much Star Wars.
All the Star Wars and the Marvel stuff. Yeah. That's going to be kind of my wheelhouse for the foreseeable future with Thunderquack. So that's more than enough. That and then the Thunderquack podcast, which is, I think the part that a lot of people really like about Quiver is Amanda and I.
Your banter. Yeah, you have a good conversations rapport. About yep.
whatever. They like when we go on tangents. So, that's all that show is. That show is just the tangents and no Green Arrow.
You still get that.
Yeah, yeah, it's distilled. Yep. It's been purified. We've removed the bad aftertaste. Really just us griping about, oh, this episode of Arrow wasn't very good, and then talking about something else, because that tended to be the case. If the episode's good, we talk about it. If the episode's we end up talking about other stuff, right?
Right, right.
So, kind of like how we're talking mostly really about Andy.
Yeah, that's right.
Bragging about our friend, basically.
Yep.
Humble brags.
Whoa, that's a big knife.
Yeah.
He just keeps in the back of his pants.
Yeah, that's meant to be threatening, but it's really not. I love the computer acting.
He's just tapping randomly. Just tap.
You can't hack anything on an iPad. I'm sorry. It's just not possible. I know he's got, it's a special iPad, but.
Well, it's from the future, isn't it?
No. Just he came back. His whole computer system didn't come back.
Oh, that's too bad.
But, you know, Felicity's computer stuff has always been super awesome.
I'm surprised he would even know how to use 20-year-old technology.
There was a line last week when they were all working as a team where he was like, I'm having a hard time figuring this out. I don't understand 20th century technology. Yeah,
exactly. It's probably in 20 years it would progress so far.
Yeah. Yeah, everything's holograms and magic stuff in the future. Yeah, but it's funny to see him try and figure it all out. I like the set deck little location hint of some sort of
it's an Arabic script,
script on those barrels. It's a nice touch. I wasn't paying attention to where they're supposed to be, but obviously they're somewhere.
Yeah, they had a name. I can't remember what the name was.
They got to steal that plutonium.
Oh, is that what's glowing? No, that's his helmet.
No, that's just his helmet. No, it's Arrow. Everything's always green. Everywhere they go, all lights are green.
That's funny that they put a light on the inside of his helmet.
Yeah.
Just so that they could light his face.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he'd be too dark.
Yeah.
But it serves no practical purpose, and no one would ever want a light inside their helmet when you're walking around in the dark.
It's just to show technology.
Yeah, right.
I did not understand why these thugs like cut her loose, because he tells them, like, they're like, oh, tell us what's on this flash drive or whatever, right? And at first he's like, I can't tell you, and then they threaten Mia, and he's like, okay, fine, I'll tell you. And then the bad guys are like, do this test, which this is the test that Oliver had to do to become a member of the Foot Clan.
Oh, right.
I mean the Bratva, but they stole this from the Ninja Turtles movie. Although in the Ninja Turtles movie, they don't have to ring a bell. He has to eat
a pizza.
No, in Ninja Turtles 2, in Secret of the Ooze, Kino, in order to join the Foot Clan, there's like a mannequin and it's covered in little like jingle bells, and he has to remove all of the bells without making a sound.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they throw down the smoke bomb, and then Raph jumps in and does it all because he's a Ninja Turtle. And then when the smoke clears, it's just Kino standing.
Yeah, you know what? That's right. I remember that.
If your kids ever get really into the Ninja Turtles, you could do an awesome Kino cosplay. Because you have the same hair. Not just color or whatever, but like you have the same like haircut basically. Yeah. His is a little bit longer because it was the 90s. So you had a little bit of the mullet going on in the back, but. All you'd need is a white pizza delivery jacket and a pizza box.
There you go.
And then dress up one of your kids. It would be so obscure
though, because it's like it's a 30-year-old movie.
I would think it's awesome.
Yes. Okay.
In the right context, people would really enjoy that.
Yeah. Okay.
It would be probably good for an adult Halloween costume, a Halloween party, and you could get your wife to dress up as Raph. I'm sure she'd be down for that. No, probably not.
Another commercial break.
They beat the crap out of everybody, and now they're going to be saved just in the nick of time by Laurel and.
So is it the governor? Whatever. They needed something from the governor, but the governor is like some sort of puppet ruler.
Yeah, he was running that fight ring or whatever.
Yeah, but like the other guy that's like threatening them with the gun and the big knife is actually pulling the strings and controlling the governor.
Yeah, and then killed him or something. This is my problem with the season, I think. It's not that the episodes are bad. It's just that we're jumping from plot line to plot line. So there's no time to develop any of this stuff. It's just we're expected to just be thrown into an episode about the Bratva. And remember a bunch of stuff from the last seven seasons.
Yeah.
And then also care about these villains that we're being introduced to in this episode. That it's like, no offense to the actors, but like, they're not like they're day players. They're not, it's not like they're stunt casting these one-off bad guys, right? Yeah. They're just like, you know, doing casting calls and grabbing whoever to do this because it's not important. None of it's important. And that's kind of like the character dynamic stuff is important. All of this stuff going on between Oliver and his kids is important. This whole speech here about like I have to protect you, and then being like, we're heroes in our own right. You don't have to protect us. And him kind of having to come to the realization of like, oh wait, yeah, you are heroes. I'm never going to stop you from being heroes. But like, so that's important for what's happening going forward. But whatever's happening in Russia and with this pulse wave generator, none of that matters a bit, like not even a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to work. they're going to build this thing. And first of all, like if you're going to build something to stop the monitor, can you please call Cisco? He actually understands alternate
realities. Yeah, totally.
And I'm sure I'm not caught up on Flash right now, but I'm sure that by now, I think I was like three episodes in, they've got a Harrison Wells, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So if they've got a Harrison Wells and a Cisco, those are two of the most brilliant minds when it comes to, like, Harrison Wells is the most brilliant mind in the multiverse. All of his incarnations seem to understand the multiverse better than anybody else.
Right.
And then Cisco understands it as well because he was Vibe. So like, yeah, like involve that team. If you're going to start doing the crossover stuff, you have to start crossing over now.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Or you have to write the excuse of why they're not doing that. So here's Roy's bloodlust. He's going to just punch this guy until he's a fine paste.
Yeah. That's what Kingpin did in that one episode of Daredevil.
Yeah.
With the guy who slams it in the head in the car door.
Yeah.
Except they have the CW sensors on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not on Netflix. we can't do whatever we want.
Nope.
Yeah,
the division of plot lines is, I can't remember how many plot lines Arrow usually has, but we have like four things going on.
That's here. Generally par for the course on Arrow. It is one of its, when it works really well, the multiple planes of action can be really interesting, but more often than not, it just leads to convoluted episodes that are hard to follow. And this is one of those where it's like, I didn't not enjoy this episode, but I also didn't enjoy this episode. Like, like I was saying before, like, I like the character stuff. I like this moment between Oliver and Anatoly. I like the stuff with Anatoly and Laurel, where he recognizes, he's like, I see you for what you are, and you're conflicted about, you know, I mean, he kind of gets, without knowing what's up with her, he kind of understands what's up with her and gives her some advice. So I like that stuff, but the rest of it, it's like, does any of this, none of it matters. I don't have to invest in it, so why would I bother remembering what these characters' names are or what their relationships are to one another? It really doesn't matter.
Well, I think that once you get to the eighth season of, this is season eight, right?
Yeah.
The eighth season of a show, like the cast has become so large. And if you think back to when the show started, it was just Oliver and Thea and Felicity. I guess Tommy was there at the beginning as well.
And Diggle and his mom and Walter Steele.
Yeah. Okay.
And Malcolm Merlyn.
There's lots, cast, but right? it was the supporting. Yeah. But these, they're all trying, what I feel like watching this right now is that they're all trying, all of these are main characters.
Yeah.
And we are having, like, we have to have the Laurel talks to Mia conversation, and now we have to have the Diggle talks to Roy conversation. And we're jumping from conversation to conversation, and it's, and the conversations have to be short, because we have to have interplay from every single one of the character dynamics. And so it's just going from, it's just blipping from one thing to the other without really spending a whole lot of time in one place. And we just watched the Mandalorian episodes, and because we have only one character, really, and then he plays off of a couple of different people, they really spend some time just allowing things to breathe. And it's so refreshing to just watch that show.
I think one of the smartest things about that show is that, and we'll see with the third episode, although some people have already seen the third episode because they did a fan screening. And I checked with one of my friends who's seen it. So the first three episodes all clock in around 30 minutes. And that, to me, I know that there's some people online who are like, oh, that's my biggest problem with the show, is that the episodes are so short.
Too short.
And honestly, I feel like I get the same out of the 32 minutes in the second episode of Mandalorian as I would out of any 44-minute,
It's because it takes its time with it. Yeah.
It's about pacing, right? So even within 32 minutes, it, like you said, it breathes and it allows the story to unfold instead of moving from beat to beat and filling you in with dialogue.
And that's the thing, is we get to see the story unfold instead of hear about the story unfold. And I mean, I'm
quite literally, like Mandalorian, there's very little dialogue in the second episode.
And this one's just all talking, except for that one fight scene we had in the cage. It's just one conversation after the other. And I remember the first few seasons of Green Arrow, or of Arrow, where there would be lots of moments where it was just silent, or him going through the city or taking out the bad guys. And, you know,
I think that it's actually, it's not the writing as much as it is Stephen Amell himself. So he made it really clear around season four that he, although he was fine with being the lead on the show and being sort of the number one on the call sheet sort of thing, so obviously his character is going to drive a lot of the plot.
Yeah,
he is not interested in doing all of the heavy lifting, and the example that he would go to is Tom Welling, and how they would really, we're fast forwarding through commercials, by the way. I fast forward too far. They would basically run Tom ragged. We're back now, which I think is one of the reasons why he kind of left that behind and kind of took some time off of acting and directed and produced and stuff for a little while, because Smallville was really grueling for him, because you're talking about like an actor who's doing 24 episodes of a series in a year, and he is in every single episode and in almost every single scene. And Stephen Amell sort of took the lesson from that and said to the writers, make this a team so that I don't have to be in every single scene, so that it can be reasonable.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And give these other characters on the show their own spotlights, right? So that you can tell in season five, they start to have
Mr. Terrific comes in and
Wild Dog and the
girl and whatever her name was, she turned out to be bad guy.
Yeah,
and Ragman. Artemis. That's right. Oh, her name should be Artemis. Mia.
Yeah. Except she should just be the Green Arrow.
I guess so.
Wait. Artemis is a sidekick.
Right. Oh, okay.
So,
here we go. Look at these. These two are going to take on all of these beefy bad guys here.
Yeah. Are you ready for some punching time? Where did they get those green? Was that part of the plot? I don't know. think matching little
designer Russian. It's funny watching that. Mia doesn't know where to wear the hood, but Oliver totally knows how to wear the hood.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks better, way better in it. This is the governor, or is this, because I thought he was dead. He's not dead.
He shot somebody.
Oh, okay.
Who was the guy that he shot, the governor? I don't know. Does it matter? Not really.
I don't know. I don't even know why we're fighting.
Well, they're so.
Boy, Anatoly's short.
I think that they were. That this is what he wanted was basically them fighting in this ring.
Yeah, he made some comment about how all of the fights are boring at the beginning of this episode. He needs some more excitement.
So Ollie and Mia are kind of giving him what he wants. And the goal of that is that they're
they'll get the thing distracting that
the bad guys so that Anatoly and Laurel can can get in and steal back the secret plans to the Death Star or whatever the heck it is.
I love that subtitle. Punches are thrown.
Yeah. Subtitle. The closed captions are great. We talk about that a lot because obviously we watch the show with closed captions, which not everybody does. And sometimes some of the descriptive text is a little bit, sometimes it's spot on, like pistol cocks, right? Yep. Like that.
I know that, what that sounds
and then
like.
Gunshot. Okay, cool.
Punches are thrown.
Yeah, punches are thrown is an interesting one. I always like it when they describe the music that's playing in a room.
Yeah, right.
In order, because like if the music is playing in order to give you a specific
tone,
tone.
Yeah.
And if you're deaf, obviously you're not gonna catch that. So they'll go, oh yeah, by the way, ominous music is playing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, cool. There's another good one of William mouthing "Wrap it up," and it.
The subtitle actually says mouthing "wrap it up,"
which is so interesting because he didn't say "wrap it up." He mouthed "wrap it up" and did the signal,
the two fingers
going around each other to wrap it up. That isn't that kind of a closed caption in itself.
Yeah, you don't need to caption that at all.
Like totally. what are you closed captioning there? Fast forwarding through commercials.
Watching that fight with no sound
is
such a weird experience because none of it looks real.
Because you're not hearing the thunk and the thwacks.
Once you hear the actual sound effects, it looks way more impressive. But when you take that out, you can tell they're just faking it. And I've never noticed that really before.
It's like how when you see an episode of Big Bang Theory without the laugh track and you realize it's the actually show's not funny. Actually funny. Yeah. So, look, hey, guess what? They all did it. They won. They saved the day, and they did it because they did it as a team. I'm not sure when Oliver is gonna learn that lesson, because he's been taught it about 30 times over in the last four seasons, but maybe one day he'll figure it out. I also like that they're having a drink. And it must be a very weird experience for Oliver of like, these are my children, but they are both of drinking age.
Yeah.
And yet they also currently exist in this timeline as a 12-year-old and a 6-month-old.
I like how whenever, and this is something that happens like all the time, Oliver says, "Guys, I need to talk to these guys." And then everybody else has to leave whatever room that they're in.
Yeah. I need the room. Like,
Anatoly, I know this is your house, but you need to go because I need to talk to these guys.
Hey, Anatoly, I know that this is your secret Bratva underground bar, but could you clear the room for me? So they got to go to Lian Yu.
Okay.
It's Mandarin for purgatory, in case you forgot that, because that was something from season one.
I don't think I knew that.
So yeah, I like this. So this is the scene where he finally like says to him like, "Look, man, that was the scene before where he was like, "You're gonna stick around," and he's like, and now Roy's like, "Yeah, I guess I could stick around if you're gonna fight a space god."
I might as well stick around for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think and so he's going to be here for the rest of the season then for the five
episodes?
I hope
so. I mean, I imagine so.
I mean, he'd have to stick around for the crossover, and then it would only make sense for him to be in the last episode too, unless he dies in the crossover. Are you expecting any deaths in the crossover?
Of main characters?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, because, I mean, we know who survived in the future timeline.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. They could wipe that timeline out.
They will. They already have, in the sense that these characters have come back from the future. So that timeline doesn't exist, because in last week's episode, they did stuff that altered their understanding of the past.
But are they going to go back to the future at some point?
No, because Green Arrow and the Canaries involves modern day, present day.
So they have to
Laurel
stick
and Dinah with Mia.
That's just so.
It's very comic booky. I mean, like it's a lot like.
Well, it's all forcing a situation. Yeah, that they need Mia to be in the present for their new TV show that's coming out. Yeah, yeah. So they have to write that in here. But you know what? I will say this for this last season. I think. What I love season finales, are series finales where they bring back old people, like Seinfeld, when you got to see all those people who you hadn't seen for a while. The fact that they're doing that through the entire last season instead of just cramming it into the last episode, I think is actually a pretty fun idea.
Yeah, this is the most important scene in the entire episode. So Laurel is confronting Lila. Where are they? Ooh, I was gonna say that they're standing on top of the building that they usually, that the alleyway is usually.
I can see the SkyTrain in the background there.
I'm not sure that that's actually where they are though, because that building in behind Laurel is not from. Actually, I think maybe they're over by Vancouver Film Studios.
I was gonna say it looks like the. Oh, what is that building? Yeah, it looks so familiar. Over by Terminal. Terminal and Knight or Clark, I guess. Is it Clark or Knight Street? It's Knight Street at that point, I think.
Yeah.
Lila, what have you done?
Laurel basically gave everybody the heads up of, guess what? Lila is actually not telling you the whole truth. And then they get darted. I imagine we're gonna wake up on a different Earth, and Oliver's gonna have to the main team's gonna have to do some stuff, or the timeline's been altered or something. It's unclear.
Anything can happen.
We're gonna find out next week. We're gonna find out next week, and then the week after we're gonna do the Leanne Yu thing. Yeah, cool. So
that episode, I probably would have enjoyed it more if I was actually listening to people talking and if I had seen the previous music. Episodes
it's
just kind of fun to poke fun at it though.
I mean, I think it was a fine episode. It wasn't bad by any stretch, but we've had stronger ones this season.
I think the main thing for me is that I just never cared about the Bratva in any of the episodes that I've seen, and so the fact that they're in another one, it's like doesn't really make a difference to me.
Yeah, Oliver's he Russian mob, whatever, who cares. I'm really excited for next week to see Paul Blackthorne return.
He's fantastic.
Yeah,
always a good actor. And,
oh man, if we don't get a scoff I closed caption from Paul Blackthorne next week, I'm just gonna burn everything to the ground because
or write an angry email.
Yeah, I will definitely tweet about it. Cool. Well, it's late, so let's wrap it up. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. You can stay up to date with all the latest Arrow news by heading to quiverpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Quiver Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Arkwulf, ARKWULF.
And I encourage everybody to listen to my podcast, which is called the Epic Marvel Podcast. If you love old comics from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, all Marvel superheroes, we talk about them all. So check that out and follow the various social media sites. You can, just search Epic Marvel Podcast anywhere and you'll find it.
Awesome. Cool. You guys know that we're part of the DCTV Podcast Network. You can head to dctvpodcast.com to check out all of those other great shows. And we're also part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com for more great podcasts. And if you like what you hear, you can support us in two ways. First, by going to store.thunderquack.com and picking up some merchandise. Somebody just bought a Riverdale sticker. Nice. A Riverdale-inspired sticker today. So thank you for that, whoever did that. Although it might not be one of our listeners. It might be one of the Riverdale gang listeners. That would make more
that
sense.
That would make more sense.
But it also might be a Quiver listener who just went in there and was like, it's a I Heart Burger or, yeah, something like that.
Cool.
Or,
you know, maybe I designed they like it. I should remember, and but, Riverdale.
But, yeah, well, you can because yeah. I love both shows.
Yeah, there you go.
Riverdale more so than Arrow these days, but store.thunderquack.com. The other way to support us is by going to patreon.com/thunderquack and kicking in with your monthly pledge of support and getting access to cool exclusives like podcasts and early access and the Facebook group and all sorts of stuff like that. So head over to patreon.com/thunderquack to learn more about that. That is it for this week's episode, and I'm terrible about remembering what the next episode is titled. We'll be back next week. I'm pretty sure Amanda will be back next week for the to talk about the episode Reset.
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't even remember what it is. Oh, Stay Sharp, Arrowheads.
I knew you'd get there. Yeah. I knew you'd figure it out.